Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
I hope we're getting pretty close to landing the plane. In regard to the text in 1 John 4:17 and 18 about casting out fear, we've been, in a sense, circling around this text for several days now, because it really is a rather complicated one, and I've been trying to deal with all of the different aspects, and we're getting close, I think, to pulling all the strands together and getting to the final conclusion. The text says, and this is 1 John 4:17 and 18, love has been perfected among us in this, so that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. The text starts out talking about the development of love. Love has been perfected or developed or matured among us in this. And we won't go back to that again, but it's talking about the development of agape love within us. Agape love is divine love. Agape love is the love with which we are to love the brethren, and that's part of this text. And agape love is the development of this godlike character within us. God is love, and His children are going to reflect that. And they'll start reflecting that to some degree from the moment that they are saved, but it's not very well developed at the beginning. But as we develop this godlike love within us to a significant degree, we begin to experience some wonderful effects from it. And one of them has to do with our boldness in regard to the day of judgment, or we might say our assurance, our confidence, our assurance with regard to the day of judgment. Now I pause to welcome you to this Friday, November 16 edition of the Beacon broadcast, and to thank those who remember our financial needs and are willing to help us because you value this Bible teaching ministry and want it to continue. So that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. And what enables this judgment, as we saw in the broadcast yesterday, is an understanding that in Christ we are regarded by God the Father in a way that mirrors the way He regards His Son. I still am very hesitant to say that we are regarded in every way exactly like God regards His Son, but it's obvious that in some ways, some aspects of the way that God regards His Son, we are regarded in exactly that same way. And one obvious way is that God regards His Son as perfectly righteous. Who would argue with that? But God regards all of His blood-bought children as perfectly righteous because we have the imputed righteousness of Christ. And that, of course, is what enables us to stand in the day of judgment. So, love has been perfected among us in this so that we may have boldness in the day of judgment because as He is, you remember that that's talking about the way Christ is now in heaven, the ascended, glorified Son of God, who has the place of highest honor in heaven, but as He is now in heaven, so are we, and so are we in regard to the day of judgment, that we will be safe in the day of judgment because it'll be like Christ standing there being judged. I don't think anyone would worry about the outcome of Christ's verdict if he were standing before God on judgment day and being judged, and of course there would be no fault in him. The divine verdict would be the same verdict as Pilate. Pilate judged Jesus upon the earth, and he said, I find no fault in him. And that's just a very human judgment, superficial judgment. That's not a thorough judgment, to be sure. But it is a reflection of the divine opinion that God the Father finds no fault in him. And he said so on more than one occasion. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I am completely pleased. I am perfectly pleased. That's God's estimate of his Son. And we wouldn't have any difficulty believing that God the Son would have no fear to stand before God the Father on the day of judgment. And this is saying we shouldn't either, because as he is now, so are we in this world. So we don't have to fear the day of judgment if we understand these truths. But here's the interesting part, or at least another interesting part that we don't want to overlook. This doesn't say, because as he is, meaning as he is now in heaven, so will we be at the day of judgment. Though that's the implication, but it even makes a more interesting assessment when it says, so are we in this world. Now, what's the significance of that? Well, we know that when we are in heaven, we will be entirely sanctified. At that time, we will be sinlessly perfect. We will be beyond the possibility of sin. We don't get to that place now. Some people erroneously teach that, but here in this world, we are never beyond the possibility of sin. We can't reach a state where we are locked into sinless perfection here in this world. But when we get to heaven, that will actually be our state. We will be sinlessly perfect and beyond the possibility of sinning. Wow, think of that. But that's in that day. But how are we in this world? Sinners saved by grace who still stumble and fail and fall and have to confess our sins and thank God for the promise that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's how we are in this world. But in Christ, we are, in one respect, as perfect in this world as we will be before God in the day of judgment. Because as far as our standing in heaven is concerned, as far as the books, the record of our deeds is concerned, as far as our justification is concerned, that is as perfect now in this world as it will be then when we are in heaven. It is as perfect now in this world as it will be then on the day of final judgment. And that brings us then to the final part of this text, which is love's effect, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Let's break that down. What is this saying? Well, this is saying, first of all, that love and fear are incompatible. There is no fear in love. We would be more inclined to understand that faith and doubt are mutually exclusive. To the extent that you believe, to that extent, you have no doubt. Faith and doubt are mutually exclusive. You can't have faith and doubt at the same time about the same thing. Now, it is true that you can have a faith that is not fully developed, and therefore you can have much faith, but still a little bit of doubt. You can also have a little faith and a whole lot of doubt. If you think about faith and doubt as being on a occupying the same space at the same time and putting them on a sliding scale, let's say they're on a foot ruler, if you've got only an inch of faith, then you've got 11 inches of doubt. If you have 6 inches of faith, then you've got 6 inches of doubt. If you've got 11 inches of faith, you've got 1 inch of doubt. But faith and doubt don't occupy the same space at the same time. To whatever extent faith moves forward and grows and develops, to that extent it squeezes doubt out. And the day is coming when we will have 12 inches of faith and no doubt at all. But the truth of the matter is faith and doubt are mutually exclusive. But this is telling us that love and fear are the same way. To the extent that you have a well-developed love, to that extent you have no fear. Think of love and fear on that same foot ruler. If you've got an inch of love, you've got 11 inches of fear. That's not a strong love. That's not a well-developed love. That's not the kind of love it's talking about here. Love that has been perfected, that is well-developed among us. But if you have 11 inches of love, then you've only got room for 1 inch of fear. And if you move it even further than that, 11 and a half inches of love, 11 and three-quarter inches of love, there isn't much fear left. It isn't much fear possible, because love and fear can't occupy the same space at the same time. Now, that's a remarkable statement, but that's what this is saying. And this is the desirable experience. This is what we want. We want fear to be gone, any and all fears, but particularly fear in regard to the day of judgment. And we might think that the Bible is teaching us that perfect faith casts out fear, and there's no question in my mind but that is exactly true, but this doesn't say that. This says perfect love casts out fear. If you want to see your fears diminished, then you should be working on developing your love. You say, well, I'm working on developing my faith. I don't discourage that at all. I firmly believe in that. That's what we've been talking about, in a sense. The more you understand these truths about Christ and about salvation and about God's judgment and all these things we've been talking about over the last several days, the more you understand that and believe that, that's faith, then the stronger your confidence will no doubt be. But again, I'm sticking to the text, and the text doesn't equate this to faith driving out fear, but love driving out fear. So love and fear are incompatible, according to the words of this text, and strong love vanquishes fear. Perfect love, that is well-developed love, casts out fear. The stronger our love, the weaker our fears. The weaker our love, the stronger our fears. Fear is fueled by worry. It goes on to say, because fear involves torment. Torment, that's the torment of a tormented mind, a tormented conscience, a tormented soul, that's worrying. That's true of worry in general, but especially of eternal judgment. And as we worry about that, then we fear it, but perfect love casts out fear. And that's where this text is going, and I didn't land the plane today, so we'll have to take it up on the broadcast Monday. I trust you'll join me then. Until then, this is Greg Bartman, Bible teacher on the Beacon Broadcast, saying good day, and God give you his eternal peace.